it's Greg Bissonette, and I'm with Ryan and AD, and I'm checking out the Shabby Road Record Show.
Record Show.
Heavy metal, rock and roll is always going to be with us. Day after day, year after year, it's never going to die.
Who likes rock and roll? Yeah!
Shabby Road Record Show.
Put down the boxing gloves and try and just get it together.
It's a good way to kick off this show, isn't it?
It's actually kind of apropos.
It is.
Why do I have this album? I'll tell you why.
That is a good question. Why do you have this album, Rat?
I was just telling Robert that, you know, those back in the day when you could buy, like, you get 10 albums, like Columbia Record House Club, whatever, where you could get 10 albums for a buck.
Of course, yeah.
And then you only had to buy X amount more over a couple years period at, like, ridiculous prices. I think it's, they always had, like, about... You had to pick 10 or 12. You got bonus two more, right?
Right, yeah.
So they always had about six or seven pretty okay ones. You go, oh, yeah, I'll buy that. And then after that, they're like, oh, fuck, they got nothing but crap. So it's like, all right, I'll buy this Rat record.
Ooh. Yeah. And this is Dancing Undercover, if I'm not mistaken,
I
yes?
I believe you. I wouldn't know. What would I know?
I'm going to guess this is Rat. 1987.
Sounds like it.
We didn't really look it up. It's the randomly picked intro record here for tonight's show.
And tonight is a special theme. We've come up with a little bit of fun tonight, I think, hopefully.
I think so. And this record is a perfect way to kick it all off, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So maybe we should just get cracking.
Well, let's start, well, then we can explain what we're doing here.
Right, yeah. Well, hey, Laba.
Hey, Laba.
Welcome back.
Hey, Laba.
Welcome back to the Shab. The mystery boxes are loaded with classic vinyl, so it's time for another Shabby Road Record Show, the hipster-free vinyl podcast. No hipsters in here, man. If you come up with this Rat record, those hipsters will run you out of Dodge. I'm your host, Ryan McKay, and I'm joined by the Lord of the Wasteland, a modern-day man of steel. He gathers darkness to please him, and I command you to kneel before A.D. Adams.
Well, that's right. Obladi, oblada. Life goes on, brah. How's it going, dude?
It's going good, man.
Let's get some gnarly waves and spin some righteous tunes and smoke some righteous weed, brah.
Oh, God. Thank you, Spicoli.
All right. Right. That'd be awesome.
Woo. Where's Mr. Ham?
Dude. So I've got some good shit tonight. Well, I've got some bad shit tonight as well.
Let's explain our theme for tonight. This is a themed episode. We haven't done a themed episode for some time.
Absolutely.
And I'm to blame for this one.
Entirely.
I will stab you in the neck with a knife.
Well, I think our litmus test for any idea, good or bad, has always been if the other guys, like you suggest something, and then like Ricky and me start laughing.
Yes.
That's probably a go.
Then it's green light. That's a green light.
The laughter, just the derisive laughter as well. It's like, yeah, that's definitely, it's on.
Well, the theme for tonight is Bad Shabby.
Bad Shabby.
What we've done is we have chosen records that contain songs that, yes, are really that bad. And we are going to pick them apart and have a lot of fun with them tonight. How is your mystery box looking, AD? Right, what have you done to your mystery box? Defiled it.
Well, it was tough. I mean, you know, bad stuff. I mean, you know, this is not my favorite record. I could have picked any number of songs off this Rat album. And people go, well, that's not bad. So then you go, all right, I'm going real bad. But you don't want to, because there's some, I've got some bad records. I mean, I've seen some, you know, we've had some records handed to us. And I'm not talking about Mod or Steve Seaborg. I'm talking about friends who just go, hey, I brought these 10 albums over, and there's like a Slim Whitman album in there or what have you. Ooh. You know, and text somebody in the Tornado Kings or something, you know, or whatever.
That's a great name.
Right? And so there's really bad. There's like unlistenable bad. But dear listeners, we wouldn't do that to you.
Okay, so there is a level of...
Yeah, a record that you think might be valid, and but, oh, God, the song's so bloody awful. Or maybe one album is just so horribly bad that you could have picked any number of songs. So two of my selections are kitschy, they're goofy, they're, dude, they're just fucking bloody awful. Just awful.
Just awful.
Just awful.
And so you said two. What's the third one?
I don't want to talk about it. Just you move on. No, no. It's not the
You're
time.
Not going to say anything
this
about
is,
it?
This is not the time for that. No.
Okay.
Let's just move on. Let's cross that
so
bridge.
So you're not
going to
mention
it.
Anything about it at all?
Sorry. Nothing to see here, sir. Move along, shall we?
Well, I've done
How
the
How about your mystery?
I got two records that are not bad records, just to kind of piggyback off of what you're saying. I've got two records that are fairly decent records, listenable records. I have pulled two songs from them that are just hilariously bad.
Right, right.
Now, what I've done, AD, is I've got my third record is what I like to call the palate cleanser. So when things get completely off the rails and we just can't take another bad song, I have brought with me a song that is really, really good.
Okay, what?
Like, no shit, like a great song. It is sort of like a pulling the ripcord, tapping out, like going, no more bad shit. We need a good song to sort of get us back to zero.
Because the reason I didn't want to talk about my third pick is because I did too, and I didn't want to be the rule breaker.
Yes, so we broke. So there are good. There is going to be great music to be played on the show tonight.
And listen, honestly, the bad stuff, I got to admit that I had three or four that I was choosing from. One was so bad you would have hated it, dude. And it would just – I've worked so hard, you know, with you on certain things and certain bands, and it would have just ruined. We're making progress on a couple of them, like
so you were going to bring like a really bad Jethro Tull song,
or some Sparks, or some couple three other bands that I know that you don't like, maybe Horse Lips or Man. Oof. Right,
I liked Man.
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah, there's one of some my more films. I found another Horse Lips record at the record store the other day.
Which one?
It's the one where the Horse Lips logo is sort of like turned to the side and fades and almost into a circle.
Oh, yeah. That's like a Celtic sort of rock opera. That's really cool. Celtic Prague.
Okay.
It's awesome.
Is there flute on it?
Yes, there is.
Oh,
it's
fuck
good,
that.
Good flute.
In
good
tune
flute.
This time?
So anyway, So I think my two bad picks, I kind of like them.
I do too.
Dangerously close to like a guilty pleasure episode.
Sure. Sure.
If you will, you know.
Well, let's get started here by saying hello to Ricky Serrano.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
How are you? Good to see you.
How are you?
And he's brought with him the cantankerous old sod, HAL 5000. Oh. In a good mood.
That's unbelievable.
This can't be right.
He's so happy.
Wow, he's dancing in the aisle.
There's just no end to his happiness. Wow, Hal.
Wow, that's so great, Hal. Wow, that's amazing. Perfect. All right, well, I don't know what to say. I'm speechless.
I'm kind of off guard. I don't know what to do.
I'm so used to
slack-jawed over here.
I'm so used to defending myself after Hal speaks.
This is horseshit!
There he is.
And he's off the dance floor.
And the Vicodin has worn off.
He's sitting back at the bar again.
And who do we have on the Astrovan bench seat tonight?
Oh, we got a crew here. We got Robert Perez is here again, dude.
Yes, probably.
You didn't stay away?
Yeah, we were rocking the drums early. We got Mark Brooks over here, my brother.
Yes, probably.
And of course, the luscious Liz, our liquid mistress, Miss Liz Morgan, is here, as usual, slopping us up and, pouring our drinks and slopping us up.
Slopping us
like
up.
Hogs, like hogs, but with liquor.
Very hog-centric.
I got the red trough over here. You've got the black trough over there.
I got a very special announcement to make here, AD. There is beer at Shabby Road once again. And it's a man that's no stranger to the Shabby Road Record Show. It's Steven Seaborg. He's done it again. He's kicking off 2016 by getting us an 18-pack has been delivered into the fridge here at Shabby Road by going to the shabbyroadrecordshow.com website. You guys know the drill by now. It's the PayPal link, and you can donate some beer to the fridge, which is greatly appreciated. Mm-hmm. We have already hit 82 degrees here in Phoenix, and it's only February, so it's there's no turning back.
That's my partner, Les Nessman, over there with the weather.
More news and Les Nessman.
Yes, indeed.
All right, and then really excited to tell you guys this. This is a really awesome thing that just came in over the weekend. One of our friends who's a listener in Sweden,
Oh, yes.
He has created a link or a playlist on Spotify that contains just about every song that we have ever played on the Shabby Road Record Show, including Side Boobs and Who Did It Better.
Yeah, I was surprised when he included the Side Boobs in there, too, man. He had the whole side of, what, Queen 2? Black Side, I think we played. And,
Caress of Steel is on there, Side 2. It's just an incredible thing, and we're so grateful to him. His name is Håkan Svalstrom.
Yes, that was well done.
I'm sure I'm not exactly on the money with the pronunciation of your name, Håkan, but thank you so much. I mean,
yes,
the work
from
that
Malmo, Sweden, Malmo. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah,
there you go.
I toured over there with Chris Hyatt and Germ.
You played in Malmo, right?
I did play, and I, for the life of me, can't remember the place we played, man.
You guys had just left Amsterdam, so
it's
pretty, pretty obvious why you can't remember. But the work that that it must have taken him to put all this together is just an extraordinary amount that I can only imagine. It took days and days, or if not months, to put this together. So
to every episode.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I mean, it's just incredible, and we're again so very grateful. It's an awesome thing to do. So if you're on Spotify, go to our website, shabbyroadrecordshow.com, and you'll see on the front page there's a link to the Spotify thing. Or just if you're listening to this a year from when we're recording it, if you just do a search Spotify, and you'll find it. And it just pop it on, hit shuffle, and be catapulted instantly to Shabby Road Record Shows of yore.
That was nice, though. That was really cool. I feel like we know you. Obviously, we've spent a lot of time together.
Yes.
Håkan, you know?
Yes,
so.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's nice. Thank you for doing that. That's
so
very flattering.
A million thank yous to that, and it's just a killer thing. Also, one more thing too, AD, real quick, before we crack open these mystery boxes and hear some crap. our pal, the Podfather, Ken Mills.
Yes.
I talked to him today.
How's he doing?
He is doing good. I know he was ill for a while, mm-hmm. but seems like he's on the mend. He's back to doing his podcasting and stuff.
Good.
But he reached out to me to inform me that he has purchased some Crash Street Kids albums.
Oh, right on.
Kids being AD and I's old band. And it's a great way to also support the show if you're so inclined. But Ken ordered Chemical Dogs.
Good one.
Good record. He ordered Transatlantic Suicide.
Not a good one.
And he ordered Sweet Creatures.
Right on.
And so he wanted to share that with me, and I want to share it with you and say, Ken, thank you so much. I hope you enjoy the records. And we certainly had a fun time making them, right?
Yeah, it's funny. I was telling Robert today because he does drum lessons here and stuff, and he does them on Monday nights when we usually record the show. And I was talking about – we were talking about Ringo, and everybody thinks, oh, Ringo sucks, but how incredibly clever Ringo really is mm-hmm. as a drummer and how really good of a drummer he is. And so I was talking about when we were recording Mandy and the Leapers, how it just was driving me bonkers. Couldn't come up with a drum part. We had to leave it. Remember? It's like...
Yes.
Ugh.
One of the few times that we actually recut from the ground up a track, right?
Yeah, we stripped that whole thing down and started over again, man.
Yeah. Fun band. So if you guys are into the 70s glam stuff that we tend to play here on the show, we actually had a band that did that stuff, so... I know this sounds self-serving, but go check out Crash Street Kids.
Yeah, man, fuck, why not? It's America. We sell stuff.
These records are fantastic. They're the best records you could ever have.
I would buy them.
All right, well, let's start cracking these open, right? Let's see who's going to go first. Ricky's got two playing cards, a red card and a black card, right, Ricky?
Yep.
And Happy Hal.
It was so nice to hear that. It was just like... frolicking in here. Dance floor, the lights went dim. And
what the fuck?
Wow.
I was just going to say the disco ball started spinning and he looked so happy, but apparently not.
It's over.
Yeah,
it was very short-lived.
Yeah.
Red card and a black card, one in each hand. AD is the red side of the room and I'm the black side of the room. And let's make Mark pick left or right.
Right.
He says right.
Red.
It's red. That'd be AD Adams.
All right.
Strap in.
Now listen.
Here we go.
Before
Shabby is underway, everyone.
Listen, I got to start off by saying the first selection I'm picking. This song really is that bad, but it's it's catchy. But I got to tell you, as cheesy as the record, as the album is that it came on, and the artist and all this stuff, the story behind the artist is pretty fucking cool. And the people that have chosen to work with this artist is like a who's who. And so I'm going to wait until I tell you who it is for a little bit. But suffice to say, this record came out on Chrysalis Records in April of 1982 in the U.S. And it came out Radio Choice in the U.K. in May 81, almost a year earlier, right?
Okay.
So this thing kind of hit in the U.K. a little bit first and then came over here, kind of took advantage of the MTV wave that was happening, you know, in April of 82. It was produced by Greg Matheson, who I don't know if you are familiar with that name. Greg Matheson with M-A-T-H-I-E-S-O-N. I thought you might know him. He's a keyboard player, producer, arranger. And he's worked with like Sheena Easton, Chicago, Stephen Bishop. I figured you might know him from Donna Summer. He worked with Donna Summer.
Oh, okay. No, I probably am familiar with his work then.
Yeah, I mean,
as a Donna Summer.
Yeah, so I mean,
guilty pleasure fan that I am.
And Tina Turner, he worked with Tina Turner, Al Jarreau. He even did like David Hasselhoff's records and stuff. Right, this guy did it all.
Wow, put it on. Let's go.
It was also produced by a guy named Trevor Vetch or Veitch. I can't pronounce it. It's V-E-I-T-C-H.
I believe it's pronounced Malmo.
It's Veitch. Veitch. He did like Laura Branigan, Gloria, Gloria. That one, that Gloria?
Is that the lyrics?
Yeah. And he was a guitar player, producer also. And he also did Donna Summer. So this guitar player and keyboard player were involved with Donna Summer, like Hot Stuff on the Radio. That one, remember
good
that
stuff.
One?
Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
So it was cool shit. Yeah, you're a big Casablanca.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I kind of am too. Probably not like you are. But
my mom had those records when I was 6 or whatever, so
right,
yeah,
on,
very nostalgic
cool.
for
very
that
cool.
stuff.
She was supporting Kiss's label before you knew it.
I did,
that's
yeah,
cool. Good
before I could even put all that together.
Before you knew it, yeah. So these guys are the ones who produced it. Now, the writers on this record, it's like, okay, the hit song was written by Chin and Chapman, Nicky Chin and Mike Chapman.
Okay.
You know, I mean, one of the most successful pop writers mm-hmm. around, right?
Yeah, yeah.
David Essex. There's a cover of David Essex, Rock On this record. Also,
yeah,
three of the members, Mark Mothersbaugh, Jerry Casale, and Robert Lewis from Devo
okay.
are writers and musicians on this record.
We have quite a lineage going here so far.
We got Burt Bacharach and Hal David tune on this record.
Whoa.
And we have Nick Gilder's Time After Time, a cover of that.
Nick Gilder's Time After Time.
Yeah. Not the Cyndi Lauper, you know,
I've
if you
not,
lost me, you know, whatever.
I've not heard Time After Time by Nick Gilder.
It came out in like 79. It was on his Frequency album. Oh, by the way, you know who played drums on that? I searched that.
Frequency, the Nick Gilder record?
Yeah.
Who?
You turned me on to one of the podcasts about this Craig Krampf guy.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, he played drums on that.
Right, yeah, because he was saying, in that interview, this is from podcast
mm-hmm.
Craig Krampf interview, and he did a lot of stuff with Nick Gilder.
Yeah, so I mean, that's kind of cool. So there's weird connections here. Also on the hit song, I'm not going to be playing the hit from this album.
You're digging deeper.
Oh
eh?
Yeah, I got but anyway, the drums on the big hit record, and I'll as soon as I expose that, you'll go, oh my god. But that was Rick Parnell, most notably from Atomic Rooster, and of course from his role as Mick Shrimpton from Spinal Tap's ill-fated drummer.
So okay, yes, yes.
That's
okay.
Rick Parnell played drums on the big hit song on this record. What I'm talking about here.
What are you talking about, AD?
Word of Mouth by Tony Basil.
Where did you dig up that old fossil?
What the fuck is you?
Now, hey, Mickey, you're so fine.
Is that
right?
Chin and Chapman?
Yeah, that's Chin and Chapman. That's
okay.
A Chin and Chapman song. And that's the one Rick Parnell from Atomic Rooster played on. So when you hear the drums on that, that's a dude from fucking Atomic Rooster. That's Mick Shrimpton from Spinal Tap playing that.
These cheerleaders are fat.
That's cool. Oh, but that's cool. I started like checking into her because she was her career as a choreographer was enormous.
Right.
I mean, she did choreography. Dancing, she did. She was an actress, and was on TV, movies, stage. I mean, her career is fucking amazing. I don't want to talk about her. This is actually, listen, it's a pretty good record. I listened to the whole thing twice today.
What are you playing off of this record?
I'm playing a song called Shopping from A to Z.
Play the record, okay?
It's written by Allie Willis, Bruce Roberts, and Tony Basil, one of the few songs that she wrote or co-wrote on this record. Mm-hmm. It's pretty awful. It's basically they're going, shopping, we're going shopping. And they go, A, apples, B, bananas. and they go through the list of what they're going to buy.
It sounds
and
then, awesome.
I love right? this. Okay.
But the thing is, it's cool. They go like, you, something, V, they get to X and they go, nothing, because they can't think of anything. But, I mean, you know, think about that. The whole premise of this, like, okay, they're going – that's if they're going grocery shopping, right?
Okay.
What if you were, like, a junkie? A, amphetamines. B, bongs. C, crack pipes. D, Demerol. You know?
Demerol.
E, ecstasy.
Yeah.
Or, like, if you were going, like, say, to Fascinations or, like, Castle Boutique, it would be A, anal beads. B, ball gags. C, cock rings. D, right? Or if you're like get further down the alphabet and you have like murdery issues like R, rope, S, stun gun, T, tarp, V, van. You know? So I mean, you can have a field day with it. They just happen to be at the grocery store shopping. So, but no, this is I mean, she's 72 years old, man. She started her career doing like early choreography for. Do you remember the Tammy show? In Santa Monica, I think it was Santa Monica. It was like, dude, it was in 64. Oh, you should see that. They made a movie out of it. It was one concert over two nights. I want to say in Santa Monica, Civic Center or something like that.
Okay.
Dude, it was 1964. It had the Beach Boys in one show. The Beach Boys, Chuck Berry, James Brown and the Famous Flames, Marvin Gaye, Jerry and the Pacemakers, Leslie Gore, Jan and Dean, Smokey Robinson, the Rolling Stones, and the motherfucking Supremes.
Wow.
One show.
It was, I'm assuming it was in the
1964.
It wasn't in 2010.
No.
Because that wouldn't have been as
good. There'd be like one original member total between them. I mean, Chuck Berry would have a dude named like Bob Berry or something. No, but this, I saw the film of this. It's remarkable. You should see it. It's probably on Netflix. It's called the Tammy Show, T-A-M-I, which is Teenage Music International.
Oh, interesting.
Unbelievable.
Okay,
so she was the choreographer for this and a dancer along with Terry Garr. Remember Terry Garr?
Yeah, actress.
Yeah, so Tony Basil's career goes way back to those times. She was doing Shindig. Remember Shindig? She was choreographer and dancer on Shindig.
I know
Shindig
what it is, but I wouldn't remember it from – because it was 60s, right?
Yeah. I mean, and do you remember like in the late 70s What's Happening? Hey, Raj.
Yeah, what's
remember
happening?
Fred Berry rerun, right?
Yeah.
Remember, he was a member of that dance group, the Locker Dancers. You probably don't remember them.
No.
But they were like popping and locking. They would like they.
He's standing up and popping and locking.
You know that
effectively, actually.
That's priceless. Not,
that kind of popping and locking. You know, they would do that like jump and you know that was like the first sort of street dancing. She and Fred Berry were like the guys who formed. Rerun from What's Happening formed the Locker Dancers. They would do soul the dancers on Soul Train when they were all jerky and funky.
Yeah,
that was the Lockers, man. They
interesting
created that whole style of hip hop and popping and locking.
So she was a real trendsetter, kind of trailblazing dance choreographer then.
Yeah. So I mean, her list of credits are so long. I mean, doing everything from acting in like Five Easy Pieces with Nicholson. She was in Peter Fonda.
Easy Rider?
Easy Rider, yeah. I mean,
you'd think with all of her credentials, she would have got better-looking cheerleaders for that video.
That was just some
local. They are homely
looking. You know what's funny? Okay, now check this out. I did a little research on that.
With all due respect.
The cheerleaders. I've researched those cheerleaders extensively.
Have you?
Yes. Now, you know the first little stunt that they do in there where they're in the human pyramid and the chick jumps through the pyramid?
Uh-huh.
That's an illegal move now in cheerleading. I guess too many people have gotten hurt.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's unfortunate.
It's sad. Good move, girl. So, yeah, but it was, you know, she got who she got.
Play the record, okay?
But my point is about this record is...
Al is shitting impatient.
The point about this, right, this is actually a great little pop record. She does a cool little version of Rock On by David Essex, you know, and it's
that song is nothing. There's nothing to that song.
I like it. I got to admit, I like that song.
It's a big zero.
And hers is a bit little sillier. Hers is a little poppier and it's the same song. And I like it. I have nothing wrong with that song to me.
Are you okay?
You know, but there's that. And but so, but the record's pretty fun. I enjoyed listening to it. I listened to it twice, front and back today, and I'm like, that's not a bad fucking record, except the song I'm going to play.
All right,
so let's just put it on. Shopping from A to Z. Duct tape. Ether.
Electrical cord.
Yeah.
Ether.
I'll put it on. I don't even know.
Just put it on. All right, Bad Shabby is kicking off with some Tony Basil. Basil.
Basil.
Oh, sorry.
Good girl shop, bad girl shop.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a bad girl. I go shopping, Ryan.
Yeah, you're a bad, you're a naughty girl.
Naughty girl. Shopping from A to Z. Now, another thing cool, that you know she was the choreographer for the Diamond Dogs tour and for the Glass Spider tour.
Really? Wow, mm-hmm. She's got quite the lineage.
It's her career was, I mean, she was, she's 72 now, so she's not young. She was 38 when this record with Mickey on it came out, 38 years old, and that was kind of old for 80s pop star standards.
She was definitely the oldest on MTV at that time.
But she's been involved with, you know, stage, TV, all aspects of entertainment, you know, on screen and off. So she's been in the business and worked with everybody, man. So.
Let's talk about the song.
Pretty bad, huh?
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Thank you.
I kind of liked it, though, in a way. It was compelling because I wanted to find out, what are they going to do for Q?
Yep.
Quiche.
Quiche.
Of course.
X. Nothing.
X is nothing.
Nothing.
And Z was?
Zippers.
Why do you just need zippers?
I don't know. You see, if you're looking for the coolest pants ever, you start like, I don't know what the pants need to look like, but I'll just start with a zipper. And you kind of build around them.
Nice.
Yeah, get these really cool pants.
All right. What
do you got worse than that, Ryan? I bet you're going to have to really dig deep to...
I think if you hear this next song, I think I may have trumped it.
Oh, fuck.
So, Bob Halligan, how dare you? Bob, you have written some good songs in your day, including two very cool Judas Priest songs, Take These Chains from Screaming for Vengeance,
mm-hmm.
and Some Heads Are Gonna Roll from Defenders of the Faith.
Okay.
You co-wrote Don't Close Your Eyes for Kicks.
Don't Close Your Eyes.
Right, along with John Palumbo from Crack the Sky.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah, that's written by Bob Halligan and John Palumbo.
John Palumbo, yeah.
But this song I brought is unforgivable. And Bob, don't try to blame it all on your co-writer, whose name is Paul Stanley.
That was, you're quite the actor, Ryan.
Thank you. You both are culpable in this shameful display of amateurish pandering to the Def Leppard rabble.
Oh, my. Ryan Christgau.
First of all, I'll tell you that I brought Hot in the Shade by Kiss, actually making its second appearance on the Chevy Road.
Well, listen, you know my feeling about that era Kiss, so
yes.
You probably have trumped me on this one, buddy.
And anybody that knows Kiss knows what's about to happen in here on Bad Shabby. We're going to hear a song called Read My Body.
What the hell's going on here?
I don't know how, but I'm with you.
Have you heard Read My Body?
Yes, I have.
You have heard
it? Listen, I've heard these songs. It's not like I've just shut Kiss down and said I refuse to listen to it.
Well, this is a pitiful stab at Pour Some Sugar on Me. A song that doesn't need to be rewritten, you know, because frankly, one Pour Some Sugar on Me is quite enough.
One's plenty, yes.
Read My Body Like Its Progenitor is laced with awful lyrics, big haze, needless big haze. Oh, and that chorus that goes on a G chord, G, bump, bump, C, bump, bump, D, bump, bump. And during the G, bump, bump, C, bump, bump, D, bump, bump, the following lyrics appear. Read my body. Are the letters big enough? Read my body. Do you like the book of my love? Read my body. Turn the page. Get to the good stuff.
Oh, my God.
And then
that's got to be a Gene Simmons song. Well, that's Paul Stanley, you said, right? That's
Paul Stanley. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. This is garbage!
Hannigan guy.
Right.
Yeah. What are they thinking?
I don't know what's happening here, but... Then they go into the verses that are
so
needlessly verbose and are about as vapid as you would find any Kiss lyric. I mean, this really takes the cake. Let me start with the second verse. It goes, would you like to go on a moonlight ride? Do you think you want to show me what you're like inside? This is when my wife said that's gross and demanded I stop reciting the lyrics. She left the room. Oh, that's gross. And just when you think you can't stand it anymore, a Barry Manilow-esque modulation comes in to totally say it saves the song. No, it doesn't. Of course it doesn't. You can't just modulate a shitty chorus and make it better? No.
It just gets shittier. It's just higher.
Yes, taking a bad chorus and singing it higher is not going to salvage this catastrophe.
Oh, thanks, Liz. She made me a hot toddy.
Good, good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Liz.
Hopefully get rid of this cough of mine.
So this comes out, of course, 1989 on Mercury Records. By this point in Kiss's career, I think this is the first Kiss record I did not buy when it came out.
We were so broke up by then.
I even broke up with them. That's how how bad it got.
That was a Jump the Shark record for you?
I didn't even buy. Actually, Crazy Nights was a Jump the Shark record for me, and I bought it. It was stolen.
Lucky fucking you.
And I didn't replace it. I was like, good, you can have it.
Yeah, sure.
And so when this came out right after it, or a year after it or whatever, I didn't buy it. I was like, no, Kiss, you're not getting my money.
So you're going to rebuy it now to, like, complete your Kiss collection, though?
Oh, and you know, I actually did not hear this record until 10 years ago, maybe, you know? So, I mean, this kind of, I didn't have any interest in it. I finally did buy it just to go, all right, let's see what this is all about. And here it is. Obviously, the proof is right here on this vinyl.
I got to be honest.
Which is a ridiculously long album. It's, man, look at the grooves on it. I mean, I don't know if it's 70 or 60 minutes or something like that for a vinyl. It's like really jammed in there.
We came dangerously close for the first time in Shabby Road history for bringing the same band.
Really?
Because
the bad Shabby.
I was going to play Beth. I was going to play Beth and just rip it to shreds.
Oh no! You can't rip up Beth. Come on.
I was gonna. That was on my short list. I'm just going to play fucking Beth and just be done with it.
Oh, well, you know what? There's some good stuff on Hot in the Shade here. I'm not going to completely derail or deride that album. Let's see. What's good? Oh, Betrayed. That's a good song. Forever's on it. That's a good ballad.
Yeah, it's a good 80s ballad, I
suppose. Yeah. And,
That's about it.
I can't think of any of them now, but I can tell you what's not good, and that's Read My Body, which is truly the nadir of Kiss's catalog here, I think. I don't know if it gets any worse than this. I can't think of a worse song. I mean, the lyrics are just horrifying. I mean, it's just terrible. But you know what? It's Kiss record, so I can sit through it with some sort of... I don't know if you... It's like a sick fascination with it, just looking at it from afar, going, wow.
We slow down to look at accidents on the freeway, my friend.
So
isn't that kind of why we're doing this show?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Having some fun some bad music. And to be quite fair, you and I have made some bad music in our day, right?
Absolutely. <you
know? laughs> How?
And you just go, there's that. It's like a photograph. You know, an album or a song, it's like a photograph. It's a frozen moment in time. This is what we sounded like on that day. This is the ideas that we had. This is what we did. You know, like that third grade photo when one kid's just making that cheesy, goofy, toothy grin.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That was the way that looked. That was that dude. And there's that picture will look that way forever, good or bad or otherwise, you know, warts and all. So
Right.
But, yeah, I was so done with them by this time. I mean, it was just like, they just betrayed me so many times.
Betrayed. Well, how ironic. Or not ironic. But yeah. All right, AD, I'm going to let you do it. It's yeah, go ahead. It's side one, track 37. Because there's so many songs on it. I think it's five. It's five, but it's like right in the middle of the record.
Wow, there's seven tracks on that.
Yeah, there...
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight on that one.
Yeah, 15 songs, all Kiss classics.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, Gene, I know what I'm going to do at the end when I'm just ad-libbing. I'm going to say, extra, extra, read all about it. What do you think, Gene?
It'll get better.
I swear, it sounded like the brunt of my love.
Yeah, AD thought it was. Do you like the?
Do you like the brunt of my love?
Do you like the brunt of my love?
Like my angry penis.
Wow,
little star on the end of it.
It's one of your movies, I think. Yes. My angry penis.
Yes, brunt of my love. That was pretty bad. I mean, look, mine was bad. Mine was bad, but it was like, oh, that's kind of cute. That was just bad.
What can you say about it?
I think you've outbatted me on this one. Yes,
Liz said that I've given everybody ear cancer by playing that song.
It's probably right.
You're going to start reading about 6 months from now a lot of cases of ear cancer. It'll be traced back to Shabby Road
Record Show. Yeah.
We're sorry about that. That was awful. I just, you know, I mean, what could you say about Kiss at that time?
It's a fucking train wreck.
It's fucking ponderous, man. Ponderous, fucking ponderous.
I agree with Al.
Casey Kasem, wow. Well, you know, yeah, I mean, that's just, it's so blatantly trying to rewrite Pour Some Sugar on Me. It's just so obvious.
Yeah, and that extra, extra read all about it. It's really the cherry on top. Like one.
Are the letters big enough? What is that?
Do you think you want to show me what you're like inside?
I believe when the record was playing, you looked over here and said, see, now this part isn't so bad. And I looked at you and I said, yes, it is.
Yeah, I like the pre-chorus. Ben, you're just wasting time. I'm like, okay, all right. And then the chorus comes.
Four,
you're just like,
four good seconds.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, four good bars of music in there.
Are you ready to pull your ripcord yet or your palate cleanser? Or are you going to move on?
I might not have one.
Oh, shit.
I might be three bad, baby.
Oh, fuck.
This next record.
I love to hear Casey Kasem say, oh, fuck. Play that again.
Oh, fuck.
That's great.
That was some rant. He was on some rant about he had to do something about a dog dying. It was probably, yep. Shit, it is gonna. No. Right after some slow song or some long distance dedication.
It was, yeah, something like that.
I remember
that's
that.
Great.
Yeah, that was a big thing a few years ago. The secret Casey Kasem says fuck tape came out. Sort of like Tommy Lee and Bam, you know, except for Casey Kasem.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, the fuck tape is fuck tape.
Okay.
All right, listen. I brought a record that is so bad. Oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to read quotes from reviews.
Oh, excellent.
Okay.
Casey Kasem, what was his review?
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, well, Casey's probably hit the nail on the head.
Ponderous, man.
One quote about this record. This has got to be one of the worst albums in the history of punk rock. Ridiculous and sophomoric. I love it.
Oh, okay.
The anti-Beach Boys. If you like The Ventures and Hawaii Five-O, then this is the whole alternate universe.
Okay.
Another one. Bad vocals, dumb lyrics, stupid instrumentation. These guys are great.
Oh.
And I could only be talking about Malibu's Surf Punks.
Oh, there they are. Oh, my God. This was a bad
fucking
idea.
Surf Punks. The Surf Punks.
That's how we're almost finished.
Oh.
Good. Golly, Miss Molly.
These guys, again, now, Ryan, you served up just bad for bad sake. Now, my Tony Basil was bad, but it was kind of, right? It wasn't so awful, right, was it?
I was compelled as it
about,
played.
Yeah, something about it that you just went, all right, take me, Tony.
That's one of your movies as well.
Yes, Take Me, Tony, with a Y, though. She's
with a Y. Yeah.
With a sometimes Y. But this is the same thing. It's just horrible, horrible record, but there's something about it that you just can't take the needle off.
Want to bet?
Dude, I love this band. This is the Surf Punks, their second album called My Beach, which is their swan song, if you will. Came out on Epic Records in 1980.
One and done?
No, God, no. They did like four or five albums. Oh. You know? And basically, it's Dennis Dragon and this guy, Drew Steele. Now, they're spoiled, rich little fuckers from Malibu, right? It's two little surf dudes. They smoked weed all day. They surfed, and their fathers were rich. Now, Dennis Dragon happens to be the brother of Daryl Dragon, the captain from Captain and Tennille.
Oh, that's right.
So they grew up in this very rich, you know, their father was a great composer and conductor. I forget which Philharmonic.
So it skips a generation.
Apparently it does, yeah. It puts the lotion on its skin. This record, there's one song. It's a great record. Titles like My Beach, another one called My Wave, Beer Can Beach, Punch Out at Malibu, Somebody Ripped My Stick. Now, that song's classic. Your stick, of course, is your surfboard. And the lyrics, which I was going to play this one, Somebody Ripped My Stick, That Guy Must Be a Prick. If I ever find him, he's going to get fucked. There better not be one ding on it. Right?
But you chose something worse?
Well, I was going to also play Bird Bathroom. The beach is a bird bathroom. The beach is a bird bathroom. But I chose not to. There's some worse shit on here.
Wow.
I chose a little number called Big Top.
Okay.
Now, this is a song about, it's written by Dennis Dragon and Drew Steele. By the way, it's produced by Dennis Dragon.
I was just seeing, produced and engineered by Dennis Dragon.
Now, here's the deal with that. Now, there was a local, look, these guys are so awful. This may be the worst, like, actual album in my collection, but it's the way it is because that's the way they wanted it to be.
Okay.
Doesn't make it good, but it's fun. It's fun to listen to. Probably, the only worst record is probably Shouting and Pointing by Mott. And they actually tried to make a good record. So I got it right. So what you hold in your hand is it's a fun record.
Okay. Take it for what it's worth and the spirit in which it's intended.
Right. And so what they did was they started writing these little songs, right? They're total stoner, fucking Malibu rich surfer kids. They rallied a bunch of local surfers, bodybuilders, and frisbeeists and formed the band.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, well, they're just basically what it is. What's on Muscle Beach guys, Frisbee guys, bodybuilders, yeah. Surfers,
mm-hmm.
Not guitar players, bass players, drummers,
no.
Right?
Okay,
so you
right.
can see where this is going.
Yeah.
And they put this band together. Now, when they were, quote unquote, discovered by a fellow Malibu resident. They were probably practicing in a garage.
Uh-huh.
Some guys like driving by in the neighborhood just going, oh, God, this is awful. Producer of the Moody Blues, this guy, He produced Procol Harum, Joe Cocker, Leon Russell. So this guy was a record producer, lived in their neighborhood, right? And he worked with The Move.
Wow.
Right? So he discovers them, says, hey, I think I can get you this record deal. For whatever reason, right? So they put out their first record, and it kind of made, you know, they sold it at their little local beach gigs and shindigs. But for some reason, this album, their second album, K-Rock in L.A. picked it up and just started playing the piss out of it, right? So now they're actually doing shit, right? It's crazy. And so, dude, it's just so bad. They never, of course, they are that bad, so they never really went anywhere. Again, this record, I love this fucking record. But, dude, check this out. I remember buying this record and just...
How did you hear of this?
Bob Levy.
Okay.
Bob Levy, my old buddy Bob Levy, crawled in our window once and said, you got to hear this record. It's just ridiculous. And this song I'm going to play, Big Top, is actually the first song I heard by them. But fast forward a couple years to the mid-80s. Remember People's Court? Remember that TV show with Judge Wapner?
Sure.
Right?
Yep. And Llewellyn?
Yes. These two guys were on, Drew Steele and Daryl Dragon were on the People's Court.
Oh, boy.
I'm watching TV one day, and these two surfer dudes, blonde-haired, curly, you know, surfer dudes, in their surf, what do you call them, wetsuits, like neon yellow body glove wetsuit, and the other guy had like a red one. Well, look at the album cover.
Yeah, that. Okay.
In that. They kind of dressed like that.
Yeah.
They come into the courtroom. And they're being sued by a T-shirt company for not paying for a bunch of merchant for a huge batch of merch, right? Well, okay, they argued, the surf punks, you know, the two guys argued that the agreement was that the T-shirt delivered the merch up front with no money yet, right? And that they would take the prearranged dollar amount out of the percentage of the merch that was sold from that batch, okay?
Makes sense.
Right? Well, the t-shirt company argued back that, well, this was discussed. Yes, it was discussed verbally, and that the merch was indeed delivered without charge yet, but the balance was owed. They also argued that the Surf Punks never even tried to sell the merch, that they just took all the boxes on stage and threw all the shit out into the audience. Therefore stating there was no money percentage sold.
Right. Yes.
Right? And that was the Surf Punks argument. Well,
what did Judge Wapner rule?
He was not amused. And the coolest part, so he, you know, guilty that he hit him with, you know, plus punitive damages. He actually, you know, you owe them $3,000, but you know what? You guys are total assholes. $4,000.
Oh.
And on their way out, one of the dudes pulled a t-shirt out of his pocket and gave it to Doug Llewellyn for free. So this was, and I'm looking at this, I'm going, this is the fucking Surf Punks, of course, laughing my balls off, knowing who they are. You know, people who didn't know the Surf Punks and were watching this show were equally as appalled / amused. But it was just one of those moments. So anyway, I'm going to play Big Top. This song lyrically is probably as deep as they get, maybe a little deeper than the beach is a bird bathroom. This one's called Big Top. I believe it says, she's too big for her top. When are those strings going to pop? Oh, I believe at one point one of the lines is, let's talk about bazooms. You get the idea.
Awesome.
One guy is kind of in the background singing over the shoulder, boulder holder. So this gets really bad, very vapid. I believe the quote was sophomoric. Dumb lyrics, bad vocals. Yeah, stupid. You know, yeah, these guys are great. So let's just put it on.
All right.
Big Top by the Surf Punks. I think it's side 2, track 1, right?
That's what the label says.
From the My Beach album. That's it.
That's
yeah,
great.
Surf Punks.
I actually kind of like that.
The anti-Beach Boys.
That's just, that's, again, I say it all the time, it's just dumb enough to be great.
Right? By the way, a couple of the studio players, or some of the muscle guy frisbee dudes who they handed instruments to, was Ray Ban on bass.
Oh.
Hulk on guitar, second
Hogan?
Guitar. Nope, just Hulk on guitar and harmonica. And Spino Urchin on another guitar.
All right.
Yeah, so Surf Punks, Big Top from the Epic release. And I don't mean Epic in an epic way. I mean that poor record company. Epic.
Yeah, no shit.
1980 from the My Beach album.
1980.
Great, it's a great album. It's
It is what it does what it does.
I spent my day listening to Tony Basil and the Surf Punks, man. I've had a pretty good day.
I guess so, you know. I've enjoyed both of your bad picks so far, right. So I'm not ready to pull my palate cleanser out yet, or my what'd you call it?
Your redemption song.
Redeemer.
Yeah, the Redeemer.
I think we should press on, but it's time to get serious, AD. I've got a heavy subject matter here for my next pick.
Mm, yeah.
Well, let me just whip it out. I brought the 1982 solo album from Buck Dharma. It's an album called Flat Out.
I'm not familiar with it at all, Ryan.
Oh, you don't know the song?
No, I don't.
Oh, the song. I'm going to play a song called Your Loving Heart.
Oh, Your Loving Heart.
This is an epic. This is an epic number. And it clocks in at around 7 minutes, so I want you to get comfortable.
Wait, you brought 7 minutes of bad?
There's moments in this that are good.
I want you to note how short my songs were, Ryan. That's all I'm saying.
This is horseshit!
Well, let's... Musically, okay. This is not a bad song.
It's Buck Dharma.
It's Buck Dharma. And I kind of like... And the album, again... There's great stuff on this record. It's actually from the Stephen Seymour collection. There's some great songs on it, and I believe Neil Smith is playing drums on it. And
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's if you like Buck Dharma's pop stuff, you know, like that
Burning for You,
that stuff. Yeah, and some of the things he did on the album Mirrors and okay, Spectres.
Right. Yeah,
and
sure.
I've always liked his songwriting like that, and he sort of did this record because, you know, he's not the only writer in Blue Oyster Cult. A lot of the guys write in it. And so, you know, you don't get all of your songs on it. And some of the songs that he writes are just too commercial or too poppy for Blue Oyster Cult.
Right.
So he decided to put this record out. And the song I'm bringing or playing is Your Loving Heart, which is more of an epic kind of song that could find its way onto a Blue Oyster Cult record.
Really? Okay.
But it's pretty... Again, there's a pop element to it for sure.
So you're trying to pull off a Last Days of May kind of thing?
Well, it's got some nice jangly sort of acoustic-y things at the beginning, and then it just does a complete 180 and kind of does a middle rock section, and then it returns in a third part to it sort of reprises the original melody and theme.
Okay.
But it's a... The story of the song is why it's found its way into my bad shabby box tonight.
Bad shabby.
The song lyrically now starts out with our narrator. Let's call him Buck. Buck.
Okay.
Buck is lying in a hospital bed dying from some kind of a heart condition. Okay. And he's in dire need of a heart transplant, but there aren't any available. And he's talking to his significant other. Let's call her, what should we call her?
Mrs. Dharma.
Cindy, Bambi.
Bo, was it Doe?
Doe?
Doe, a deer.
Doe. Oh, Doe.
Yeah. Bo, wow. Doe, Doe,
Bambi. Let's go Bambi.
Okay.
Let's go Bambi.
Doe, a deer, a female deer.
So he's talking to Bambi, his significant other, and he's telling Bambi to, you know, go on. Just leave me be. There's nothing more you can do. I'm going to die, and thanks for your love and support, but you've got your own life to lead.
Go
you
find
know.
Yourself a thumper.
Right. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Right.
And, you know, you've got your own life to think about, and I'm a goner. There's nothing they can do. This is it. It's over for me, and that's that. So cue the emotional guitar solo, right?
Oh,
so
she then donates her own heart to him. I can see it coming, right?
So the song may have ended right there after the emotional guitar solo, But wait, we have a donor. We have a donor. Here comes the new part of the song, right? So now we're getting the perspective of the hospital staff.
Okay.
And they're saying, prep him, you know, prep him for surgery. We've got a donor. We have a donor. It was a car accident. And it's a brain injury. It's a good tissue match and all this. Not sure how they determined all of this stuff in the span of one emotional guitar solo, but...
Yeah, 32 bars is usually all it takes to make an incredibly important medical decision.
Right.
Right as usual, sir.
So during the ethereal guitar solo, we've noticed that the tissues match perfectly.
Whew!
Well, nevertheless, Buck...
Cue the bass solo.
Buck is in luck. There's a bit of a snag. The doctor sees the donor on the way in and recognizes her.
Oh, man.
Because he saw her on the seventh floor not too long ago, and yep, it's Bambi. Brain dead on a slab.
Oh, just.
Cue the second guitar solo.
Oh,
this,
geez.
Of course, is a Buck Dharma record. We're going to hear some guitar in
all
here.
Dorian scale, sad, and,
yeah.
You know, deep and epic.
I find that Dorian is the saddest of all modes.
It's quite upsetting. Minor keys are a little bit more sad, but these are a little bit more urgently sad.
Well, the thing about Dorian is that it is a minor scale primarily, but it's got that major sixth in it, which gives you that glimmer of hope.
Why are we doing Buck Dharma British? He's from Curly. Hey, I'm Buck Dharma.
Ace Dharma. All right, so Buck is waking up, and he's told that the donor was his significant other, Bambi. And to be honest, he's not that broken up about it, you know, at the end, lyrically.
I can go get laid now.
And he's in the reprise of the opening theme that we hear at the beginning, which is sort of like... The opening theme and the closing theme has got...
Wait, it's got the lyrics right here. It goes, I can go get laid right now.
I've already got a boner.
Yeah, and you can't.
The blood is flowing right. So well now.
Yeah. Awesome.
But the theme is going, like, it's emulating a, like the breathing machine or whatever, or like a beep, the heart monitor and stuff.
Right, yeah.
So it's, the guitar is like going, ding, 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 very quarter note sort of to represent... The life support
beating
system.
Heart.
Yeah. Anyway, he just simply says, "Only your loving heart, I'll be true," or something like that, which means
a lot of masturbating.
Which means what? Like,
I won't bang any other chicks.
Only your loving heart, I'll be true. Does that mean he's cutting back on red meat, or
I'll be true? It means he won't. He won't have another. I'll never love another.
He's cutting out bacon ice cream.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Keep the treadmill under 5 miles an hour.
I'll never drink again.
Cutting the masturbation down.
Yeah.
Before we drop the needle on this epic Buck Dharma song, there is a video for this song, which is definitely worth checking out on YouTube. It's cheesy and confusing, as as it should be. In the video, Buck sings to his girl. He doesn't look very ill. He's saying, like, you know, I'm dying and all this, you know, in the first verse. But he looks totally normal, you know. He's actually standing and talking to her. Yeah, you know, it's not looking good.
He totally duped her ass. That's crazy. Yeah.
So she leaves, right, and she gets into a car with a guy in a ski mask for some reason. And
You'd think by choice or probably not.
I don't know.
Probably
not. I don't know if they're going to rob a bank.
I imagine. Well, let me go back to my Tony Basil list. Ropes!
Ropes!
Tarp!
You forgot
ski mask!
Yes, yeah.
Ski mask!
And to add to the confusion, Buck also plays the doctor in the middle section. We got a donut! You know,
he planned the whole thing. This sounds like an NBC, like, behind-the-scenes thing. He's going to get busted.
He's got sunglasses on and a putter, like a golfing putter.
Not hitting her upside the head? This reeks of murder. What's a forensics file? Should be a great forensics file because I think Buck done her in. That's what I think.
You think that's what happened? He set the whole thing up?
Come on. It sounds like it.
Well, in the end, Buck is back in... Buck is back as the patient, and he's buttoning up his shirt, and you can see a very fake-looking scar, almost like something you'd buy at Spencer's, a scar. It's like in the cellophane, you know?
Yeah. Edible mustache. kind of thing.
It's one of your films as well. You almost made you do a spit take on your hot toddy there.
Came real close to that.
All right, well, let's drop the needle. It's the last song on side one. It's Your Loving Heart from the record called Flat Out in 1982 by Blue Oyster Cult's guitar player, Buck Dharma. This has got some nice musical moments in here, but oh my God, it's just so, the premise is so ridiculous.
I'll be going now. There's nothing more here to be said. I'll be going now. The doctors say I'll soon be dead.
Through. Only a
I will be going now. My new heart and I are pulling through. Who was the donor? Today they told me it was you.
You digging in the in the cooler.
What the hell's going on here?
He's looking for. We got a donor to a liver in that cooler over there.
Nice.
He's handing out beer after beer. That was Buck Dharma.
That was
with Square Peg in a Round Hole. I mean,
it was awkward. It was awkward.
How to ruin two good riffs?
How to
by mashing them together.
You know, thanks, babe, for the heart. I mean, he buttons his shirt and walks off into the sunset. And...
I don't understand what that song is trying to be. It's too sort of
it's a love song.
AOR, you know, middle of the road kind of ballady thing. Then it's got the rock part.
It was really just disjointed and awkward. I mean,
yes.
I think I'm dead now. You know, it's just like the way he said things. I think you're the donor.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the way he said what he was saying. It wasn't, I think he could have painted with more gray rather than black and white, you know?
It just, he didn't seem very broken up about it. It's like, hey, your Bambi died, and he was totally fine with it.
Thanks for the heart, babe. I totally appreciate it. Because now you're dead and I'm not.
All right.
I'll do a solo. Because I'm Buck Dharma.
Three guitar solos.
Yes, yes, yes. The last one was only 20 bars, I believe.
Okay.
End of the song, yeah.
All right.
Buck, what, the tape's running out.
What you got there, AD? Is Bad Shabby rolling on, or did you bring...
I brought a Redeemer.
Oh,
I brought
God.
A Redeemer. And this is another long one. I got 8 minutes and 17 seconds of redemption here, my friend.
Oh, this is garbage!
And this is wow. from the Seaboard collection. I'm just going to come right out with it. We could talk about this album a thousand ways. Everybody knows this album. Everybody loves this album. And this is one of my favorite Queen songs of all time.
You're going to play the Prophet song.
I am going to play the Prophet song.
Hey, all right.
Absolutely, I'm going to play that. Well, 8 minutes. You got 2 8-minute songs on there. You
I
got
know
your,
you're not doing Bohemian Rhapsody.
I'm not going to do that. No, that would have been under Bad Shabby. This song, you know the song, man.
Well, it's a great song.
It's a Brian May tune. Now, a lot of people think it's a Freddie Mercury song because of the vocal breakdown in the middle.
Right.
But it's a Brian May song, and well done, Brian May. This is, I think, way to go, Brian May and Ryan. I love this record. I love this song. This is produced by Roy Thomas Baker and Queen, of course, on the Elektra label in the U.S., EMI, Parlophone in the U.K. Came out November 21st, 1975. I was 16 years old.
Ooh.
16 when this record came out. And this is, you know, arguably, well, this is definitely their best-selling record to date. It's also, when this record was made, the most expensive record ever made.
What? Really?
Yep. At
Why?
The time of its release. Well, dude, well, they spent a lot of time experimenting with tape, echoes, and things like that.
Hmm.
You know, and
I thought you meant the packaging.
Oh, no. Well,
we used 360-gram vinyl.
We used the skins from virgins, you know, to make this album cover. No, but it is embossed. It's a gatefold. It's a nice-looking package, you know, I suppose. But
yeah.
It's a Queen album. It's the one with Bohemian Rhapsody on it. She's My Best Friend. I mean, the thing is, I think with this record, it's their fourth studio record. And I used to have this. This is from the Seaboard collection. This was lost in Jeff Trading Sessions, as we both parted ways back in the day as brothers sharing albums and stuff. He ended up with some of the Queen stuff. So Steven Seaborg had this in his collection. And nice. I'm like, I'll take the Queen stuff.
Yeah, and, I already had that one, so we didn't fight over it.
Yeah, it's one I just never went out and rebought, you know. So my Queen collection is pretty current now. But it never went to number one, though, with Bohemian Rhapsody and all. This record never went to number one, but considered by many. And I think I like Queen 2 better, I think, just because there's something about that that just was my first introduction to Queen. But this is a damn good record. And I think it shows a lot of their versatility. Like with Queen 2, they had a hard side and a soft side, black and white and hard and ballady and sweet. But this one, I mean, they really branch out. They go from the heavy stuff like Death on Two Legs, you know.
Great song.
Of course, Prophet song, what I'm playing. I'm in Love with My Car, kind of a heavy blues thing that Roger Taylor sings. Mm-hmm. But they go into like British folk and vaudevillian stuff like Year of 39.
Right, yeah.
Which is, I love that song, man. That's a beautiful, beautiful tune. Lazing on a Sunday Afternoon and Seaside Rendezvous and stuff like that. Yeah. So they got that side of them, more whimsical and lighthearted, but and definitely a far cry from either the beautiful ballad or the heavy rock number. It just took them in a whole nother direction, which this album really exposed them to be able to do that, not only musically, but as musicians as well, to write it and to perform it and to really make it authentic and genuine. I think it really showed their talent.
The thing about Queen is I think Queen 2 is the only album for me that every song is good. Queen albums can be spotty. Like News of the World, I freaking love, but there are moments on News of the World that's like, skip. I can't remember. I don't think News of the Night at the Opera that you have there. I want to say that there's a skipper or two on that, right? Seaside Rendezvous, maybe?
I kind of dig that. I think that's why I kind of brought that out, is because that showed a side of them. You know me, I love Alex Harvey, and I love theatrical stuff. And when they're able to branch out like that and do that kind of thing that's so different, I think it takes you away from – I think it enhances the record. Just more flavors are popping to me.
Yeah.
As long as it's done well and authentically and genuinely. You know what I mean? It's
contrived
to know, I think we need to put a whimsical number on it.
Right.
Fuck that, you know?
I should sit and listen to the whole thing again. It's been a while since I've done that. But I just always kind of consider Queen 2 as the best all-around Queen album.
Absolutely.
Because there isn't any bad moments on it.
I mean, a bad note.
You can go through the whole record, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, Love of My Life is on here.
Oh.
I mean, dude,
God,
right?
It's breathtaking, that
Come
song.
Come on. And you're my best friend.
Thanks, man.
Now, I know. You're. Aw. Cuddle you with ether. Oh, rub your forehead. Aw. Oh. And there's also that song Sweet Lady, which is on here, which is actually not a love song. He's telling her kind of what a bitch she is, which is kind of cool. So, and of course, the ridiculously huge Bohemian Rhapsody. So
maybe that's the problem with that record, is I never need to hear Bohemian Rhapsody.
Well, that's the thing, you know, the curse of the hit, right? I mean, that's so big, like Carry On Wayward Son. You know, Kansas is going, fuck. Every day that song came out for them. Bohemian Rhapsody put these guys over the fucking moon as far as rock stars go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, they had Killer Queen came out, and that was a hit, but not like this record, man. I mean, this record sold bazillion, like fucking, what, 6 million copies or something?
Mm.
It was ridiculous.
Ouch.
But yeah, it never hit number one, though, in the States, but in UK, it went to number one. Four different times. So hit number one, dropped off. Hit number one, dropped off. Hit number one, dropped. So it was like in there slugging, man.
It had legs. It had Death on Two Legs.
Well, you know, Bohemian Rhapsody became such a huge fucking hit.
Well,
I mean, Scaramouche, motherfucker.
Yeah,
right.
Right,
you know,
right.
Come on. Yeah.
Well, if you got 8 minutes, we probably ought to pop that sucker on.
Well, we will. But, you know, the thing is, this was, I mean, think about the production on here. We'll put it on there, Mr. Let's Go. But I want you to pay attention to the vocal breakdown in the middle that Freddie Mercury does.
Of course.
That's done with tape. He didn't do vocal takes. That's the thing. This was a studio tape trick. So they used tape delay in this, and they used it well. They could have easily done one track, another track, another track, but they wanted to be able to do it live. So this is actually tape echo. When you hear Freddie singing this melodic thing, and he does it in a round, around. Right. And there's one original and then two tape delays, two repeats on the delay. And it's timed perfectly, and it makes these nice chord patterns. I mean, for people who aren't musically or technically inclined in the studio tricks, this was groundbreaking at the time. This was not just multi-tracking. This right. was one guy singing live and then riding that fucking tape fader in the studio. And the result is breathtaking.
Well, yeah, one of the highlights of the record for sure. This is, if you haven't heard that middle section of Prophet Song, check this out, because this is a pretty astonishing vocal acrobatics here with an echo where he plays off of the echo, you know, like Brian May would do as well. And
yeah.
Many guitar players would do, but with vocals not done a lot, you know. So
I saw them live a couple of times in the 70s and early 80s, and they did this shit live in stereo with stereo delay, and it was mind-blowing.
Yeah,
still one of the best concerts I've ever seen, one of the best bands I've ever seen.
I hate you for being able to see that concert.
Sometimes being old is good. Oops, I've crapped. I'll be right back. So anyway, this is the Prophet Song from Queen's Night at the Opera record. Came out in 1975. This is great. Strap in. This is Queen at their finest. And this is my apology to all of you for the first two horrible, horrible songs. And the reason I picked a long one is so that the actual time of suck would be eclipsed by the decent time, right? So, you know what I mean? I think if you collectively add the two times together, I've done more good than evil here tonight.
I like that.
Okay. Prophet Song. Hit it.
You to death awaits you.
to a break. Shackle around, 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 around. Now I know, now I know. Now I know, 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 now I know.
Listen to the wise, listen to the wise, listen to the wise, listen to the wise, listen to the wise man.
Yeah. I haven't heard that in a long time. That was cool.
Yeah, man. It's a great song. Totally one of my favorite Queen songs. I mean, even this little interlude is fucking interesting and cool.
Right.
You know? They just knew what the fuck they were doing.
Right, exactly.
But, yeah, man, Queen from, that was the Queens from the Night at the Opera album that came out in 1975. And, you know, I hope this made up for my first two awful, bloody awful selections that I so douchebaggily played.
Wow, is that an adverb?
I'm sure. Why douchebaggily? Not? Yes, douchebaggily. What do you got?
All right. Well, I also have a redeemer.
Good for you.
I'm pulling the ripcord on the bad jabby.
The comeuppance selection?
Time to, this is the sorbet of my collection. It's a palate cleanser. I brought something that this is just such a great, great song, a hidden gem on a record that you wouldn't normally think has a song like this on it. And I'm referring to, it's a solo album from Genesis guitar player Steve Hackett.
Okay.
There's that. The right. album is called Please Don't Touch, which is Steve's second solo record, but the first one that he did after leaving Genesis. just like the last group I was talking about with Buck Dharma, how, you know, this is a band of – Genesis is a band of several songwriters. So you write these songs and oftentimes you don't get your song on the record. And he got frustrated with that. And by the time the album Wind and Wuthering came out, he finally – it was like the last straw. They chose every other song but his, you know, kind of thing, where I think he only got one song on it and he had all, had written a lot of stuff. And so this album is the first album after he said, screw you, Genesis guys. And it's got a lot of material that he'd written for Genesis. So it kind of feels like a Genesis record at times. But this song is certainly a departure from it, what I'm going to play. I'm going to play a song called How Can I,
okay,
which is the end of side one on this record. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's got the great Richie Havens.
Oh, you know I'm a huge fan of him.
I know you are. That's why I brought this. He is singing on this song. Matter of fact, he takes two lead vocals on this album, and he closes each side.
Wow.
And, man, Richie's voice.
I like this already. Yeah.
Richie's voice is...
You are forgiven.
Yes.
For
yes.
Your first two picks.
Yes, again, yeah, trying to redeem myself.
Right? Oh, wow, dude.
It's.
I didn't realize you were into any of the post-Genesis stuff.
Well, I wasn't.
I mean, post-Gabriel Genesis stuff.
I wasn't. I mean, I'm starting to kind of get into Trick of the Tail, Wind and Wuthering.
Right.
Wuthering is, it feels weird to say that word.
Wuthering.
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 And I got to give a shout out to Eric Miller over at Pods and Sods, who did a lengthy interview with Steve Hackett that everyone should check out.
Ooh, there's a good one.
And they talked, he played a part of the song, and I was like, what the fuck? This is amazing. I didn't know that Steve Hackett's solo albums did that. I didn't even know there were vocals on Steve Hackett's solo records. You know, that's how in the dark I was about it.
Wow, this is kind of a who's who. There's some players on this.
Yeah, it's got guys from Kansas on it.
Yeah, Steve Walsh and Phil Earhart.
Yeah.
Ehart.
There's one of the guys from Zappa's band is in it.
Oh, Tom Fowler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy's in it. And lots
Chester Thompson playing drums.
Chester Thompson, who would go on to play.
Go play with Genesis.
There's a Genesis connection.
Yeah.
So Richie Havens is singing this song, and it's sort of this Beatlesque acoustic song, and it's got a lot of jangly 12-string guitars. Lyrically, my interpretation is it's about moving on from a failed relationship type of thing. But lyrically, it's very colorful, but it's ambiguous, kind of like what a David Bowie lyric would be, where you kind of get the gist of what he's singing about, but you really can't put your finger on it all the way. It's not literal. It's very figurative.
So you have another song about killing your chick? Is that what you're saying?
If that's what you read into this song, first of all, seek help.
Yeah.
Secondly,
help, Ira Leuven.
Ira Leuven, yeah. Damn it. That's horse pussy. So
it's still such a great story.
Yeah. See the episode An Altogether Different Ham.
Yes.
Towards the end of that
really
episode
good.
For
good
the one. Saga of Ira Leuven.
Mm. So is that what you got here, kind of?
No. It's a nice, sweet song and sort of like very reflective kind of thing. Like I need to move on and really get it together here.
With no killing.
Right. Okay. I believe one of the lyrics is, I feel a lot less stabby.
Right, yes.
Play the retro thing.
With your new heart in me.
Yes,
right. Or something.
The melody on this is just really sweet. And the chorus chord-wise underneath, it kind of sits on one static chord. But the melody is kind of doing this nice little run, a series of notes over top of this one chord. It's very Beatly, and it's Richie fucking Havens.
Ugh.
It's so great. I you've never heard this, I guess.
No, I've not.
You're going to love this song. This if you like Richie Havens.
I do.
Yeah, very good. And so there's a ton of guests on it, so it's really worth checking out. It's pretty solid all the way through. There is one kind of a clunker on it that actually it's track 2. Where Steve Hackett takes the vocal, and it's just unfortunate.
A musical tribute to Agatha Christie?
Yes, it's that, yeah.
Why don't we play that one?
No.
Come on.
No, the bad stuff is over.
I already played a good song. Come on.
Well, we've got like a chipmunk effect on his vocal.
I wish this was a live show. We'd have people call in and vote right now.
It's very, yeah, play the shitty one.
Play the crappy one.
Well, I mean, the song itself could be, it's got potential, but the sort of We Represent the Lollipop Guild vocal on it is just
We need to take a vote in a room
damaging.
Right now. We need to. Ryan?
No.
Come on.
You're not going to forego this Richie Havens song, are you?
No. God damn it. Don't hit me in the Havens. You kicked me right in the Havens.
Too bad this is a themed episode, because we've had so many great titles for the episode tonight. Don't hit me in the Havens.
Don't hit me in the Havens, bro.
Come on, bro. All right, well, let's drop the needle on it, because I know we're running a little long.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing this, man, because I'm not familiar with any of Steve Hackett's solo stuff, and certainly with Richie Havens.
Well, you know, I got this record for $2, man, and if you see it, pick it up, because it's very interesting. If you're any kind of a fan of Genesis, definitely get it. But you're going to hear this song, and you're probably going to dig it. I think the song is gorgeous. And so there you go. $2 will get you this song and some more Richie Havens. The dude from Kansas is singing on it. All except for that one Lollipop Guild one. It's a pretty solid record.
The local radio says sorry, time to go. But I don't sleep too well. Where are those southern bells? Trying to get a telephone line through South Carolina. Your call may bring somebody down 4 miles around. I'm watching her eyes again. I won't use no fountain pen. The lady isn't here. The message wasn't clear. She left an hour ago. Screamed from the floor below. Mother Nature never gives in. Want you to sing, but how can I go on just singing this song? My car is out of gas again. Hurry home to see my friend. Money won't help you to win a new look at things. Loving can bring you down till you fall. Then why do you still try to get up at all? You're good and bad. Side showing through. Problems are a part of you. You must love someone else or face life by yourself. You may expect a call. She's waiting in the hall. Sleep to dream. No more hills to climb, it seems. Money won't help you to win a new look. again. I'll be home to see my friend.
Woo. Everyone sat here in quiet reverence during that song, right?
Love me some Richie Havens, man. That's the guy who opened Woodstock, mm-hmm. and he wasn't even scheduled to play.
Yeah.
He's like, if somebody didn't show up, I forget, somebody was supposed to do it.
Surf and Punks.
Yes, I think it was. And Tony Basil was dancing for them.
Right.
But yeah, somebody couldn't make it, and Richie Havens was hanging out, man. And they said, hey, give him a guitar, get out there and play something, dude.
Yeah, and he made a career after that. I mean, that was it.
His voice, there's just nothing.
Beautiful on that song. Voice, actually, at the very end, too, of note, it's one of the first uses of the guitar, Roland guitar synthesizer. So you hear that sort of string, that violin at the very end as we fade it out. That's actually a guitar synth.
The Moog Simplifier.
Now adapted for the guitar.
Holy shit, Steve Hackett should have one of those.
And he does?
Oh, well, wow.
Yes. Oh, no. To remind
maybe
us.
Maybe Rat should have one of those, too.
Wow, okay.
Oh. Yeah, that was almost like cold water in the middle of a really nice, comfortable nap. Right?
Wow.
Rat! Rat!
Jesus.
Just okay. Screaming rat at somebody.
Well, we got through rat. It, AD. We got through the bad shabby.
Oh, Chihuahua, man. Come on.
That was fun. I actually enjoyed that, and I hope you guys did, too. And
whew. It wasn't as bloody awful as it really could have been.
No, we kind of took care of yous.
Dude, I could have played some really bad shit.
Oh,
I
yeah.
could have played it something from Shouting and Pointing.
Oh, my God. You got that record?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, jeez.
I have Drive On, too.
Well, let's go around and thank everyone on the Astrovan bench seat.
Astrotan. See, you're still at the beach, dude.
Dude, I know. My Vans are on, my checkered Vans.
Yeah, the bird bathroom. Bird bathroom. Beach is a bird bathroom. We have Robert Perez is still here. He's not passed out drunk or disgusted. Or maybe disgusted with us. Mark Brooks is here still. I don't know. For some fucking reason, you guys. I think it's the booze and the hot chick serving the drinks.
The beers are piling
Liz
up over
here.
There.
Luscious Liz, our liquid mistress here, serving them up. And we had a once happy Hal, didn't we?
We did. We got Ricky Serrano.
Right, as usual, sir.
Ricky Serrano running the controls and formerly happy Hal.
Started out so gleeful and joyful and...
I am doing my job here. I'm a pro.
Nice.
Yeah,
well
that.
Played. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. And visit us on the website, shabbyroadrecordshow.com, and make sure that you like us on Facebook and do all your Facebooking over there with us and show us what records you're buying and all of that stuff, all that crap.
I like that, though, when people are like, hey, man, they'll come back from the record store or whatever, mm-hmm. and they'll post 5 or 6 or 10 pictures. Hey, look what I hauled in today, man.
Love it.
Fucking badass.
Love it.
Keep that coming, man.
And, leave us a review on iTunes while you're thinking of it, while I'm thinking of it.
Yeah.
Click on over there. We're still a 5-star rated podcast, and it really helps to get us listed.
It's amazing.
Higher and higher. I know. And the Amazon banner on our website will also continue to put beer in the fridge here and keep these shows coming. So use that. Go to the website and click on Amazon and buy some Surf Punks or some Dancing Undercover by Rat.
Yeah. Make us professional at this.
All right. Almost. And I'm looking across the room and I see a man who's easily as drunk as Robin Crosby ever got, but with only half the AIDS. A.B. Adams.
AIDS light. Yes. That's me. And I'm looking across this abyss of a room and I'm seeing a bad man responsible for this bad shabby, and I'm talking about a man who is certainly worthy of much better things than this, Mr. Ryan McKay.
Thank you.
Yes.
I feel like I am. Well, go out and make it a great week, everyone. We'll see you right back here at Shabby next Tuesday. And good night.
And it'll be good. It'll actually be good.
Oh, yeah. We got to get back to being good, right?
Oh, yeah.
We should let this rat just play out the rest of the side of the record.
That would be shitty. You know what? Yeah, that's what you do on a show that's bad. Let's just, like, finish playing the entire Rat album. That would make us complete dicks.
Just that, huh?
Yes.